I'm Dexter from Pups. Thank you for joining this podcast, Train Your Dog. Pups promote positive interaction with animals and pups, your companion for life. You can find us on our website, www.pups.com.sg, Pups as in P-U-P-S, and you also can find us at YouTube with the handler of Pups Jamming Studio, and also at our own blog where we are at Pups blog series. We are also available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with the handler of Pups SG, which is P-U-P-S SG.
Right, today, we are going to touch on training a puppy is all about making choices. What do we mean? What is choice? Right, choice is an act of choosing, the act of picking or deciding between two or more possibility. The opportunity or power to choose between two or more possibility, or the opportunity or power to make a decision, a range of things that can be chosen, right? Those that is making a decision. So making sound decision empower our dogs to make their own choices during the training process, right? And why do we want to create this opportunity for our dog to make choices? We human gets to make our choices in life. Why can't our dog do the same, right? So that's a question I think we need to answer to ourselves, right? So what is dog training? Dog training is not a rocket science. It's all about making choices, right? For example, in the daily routine, you know, in terms of, you know, during walks, rest time, off zone, playing, sleeping, you know, and just mind your own business, right? So these are all situation where if you train a dog to make their own decision, right, they will then make it as a default behavior that your dog can choose to use in a certain situation, right? So that is what we meant by making choices. You know, what breakfast to eat when you wake up, you know, what clothes to wear, do I want to gel my hair, you know, do I want to, what color of glasses do I want to wear in order to match, you know, my clothing and things like that, right? So these are all choices. And then, you know, we go for lunch, what lunch to eat, which colleague to go for lunch with, you know, which friend to meet up to have some chit-chat and things like that. All these are choices, right? And I think if we choose the right choice, we are going to enjoy our day, right? If not, then we will get what we call disappointed with the person that we go lunch with. Right, so that's the situation. So for dog, so why do we want to train them? Right, because choice training is catching or having, you know, an eyes on action and behavior that you like in your dog, and reward your dog to make the selection decision worthwhile as calm, motivating. Right, so this action and behavior can be a default behavior that your dog can choose to use in a certain situation. Right, so that is a state of mind that we want the dog to be in. Right, in every given situation, we want the dog to then look at how to make a sound decision. Right, so when do we need to do that? Right, in the very onset, would be like, for example, meal times. Right, so during feeding, we need to be careful. You know, for example, the dog needs to choose, do they need to take a seat and wait for the food to be served, or they have a choice to keep jumping, they got a choice to vocalize, they got a choice to then, you know, like some dogs I see, they goes in ruckus and then they run around in the house. That could be the same, right, for some. And that is all choices, right? So I would prefer my dog to choose the choice where he will sit there or give me a line position and then he waits for me to serve him, right? Because if he's going to not make the right decision, the dinner is going to be back onto the tabletop, right? And he has to wait for me to initiate the feeding all over again, right? So we can do the training, you know, in 3 meals a day, right? So we did it for breakfast, we did it for lunch, we did it for dinner, right? So that is important. So how about playtime, right? Playtime is also a good time for engagement, right? Where we play with our dog. It can be the chase game, it can be the tug of war, it can be the hide and seek, you know, it can be, you know, some mind games that we play with our dog. Irregardless of the game, right, we want the dog to understand and play according to our rules and regulation. Right, a good example when we play a tug of war. So when we play tug of war, if the dog refuses to let go of the toy, right, and that ends the game, and that sets the tone where the dog will understand by making the right decision is to let go of the toy if you have been asked to do so, and then the tug games continues, right, and then the dog continues to enjoy that motivation, that satisfaction, the stimulation of the mind, the thoughts, you know, the physical, the mental, that's necessary, right? And in most part of the day, you realize that your dogs are also taking a lot of the nap, right? So the resting time becomes a critical situation, right? Or what we call an off zone, right? Or the off duty time for the dog. And I think it's quite critical because some of the dog can be quite naughty when you let them alone. You know, puppy being puppy, you know, they will be searching around for food to eat. They may be scavenging all your rubbish bins and things like that. Or he may be going for the walls to bite, the wires to bite and things like that, right? So what we want to do is to set the tone, teach the dog to make the right decision, right? And train ourselves to have the eye, right, to catch the dog for the good stuff, right? For example, if my dog choose to lie down on one side, you know, beside me in my living room, as I, you know, watch my TV, you know, that will be heavily rewarded. And because that's a decision the dog has made, you know, to sit with me and then watch with me a show, right, in a sense. And that should be rewarded, right? So versus a dog that, you know, keeps walking around, trotting in and out, you know, he's not going to get his reward. He can continue to enjoy his trotting, right? But he will not get what you have in mind, which is the good decision or the best decision of resting well, is or resting when he's in the off time situation, right? So how about our daily walks, right? Our daily walks is something that I think we have been some of us has been very generous, bringing the dog down for, you know, 3-4 times, even 5 times a day, you know, sometimes for potty, you know, but most of the time you're bringing them for a nice walk, right? So for example, you know, before I bring my dog down, you know, I will be holding the leash and I want the dog to make decision to come to me and then present his head, right? So that I can put the collar on his head, right? And that shows that the dog has made a decision that he wants and then goes for the walk, right? So that is a good decision, and I think it's necessary for a puppy to learn that because that is easier for us to put on the collar. Some of us are using the harness, which can be quite difficult. We may take a lot of effort to chase the dog around in order to put that harness on the dog, right? So this is one. And then, you know, we teach our dog, for example, for myself, I'll wait for my dog to sit before the door before I open the door, right? And then I let the dog out, walk out of my door together with me, and I close the door, right? It's the same thing at the lift. I will expect my dog to leave, to sit and wait for the lift to open, right? He cannot on his own, what you call that, you know, barge into the lift, right? Because there are sometimes neighbors that are not so dog friendly. We need to be a little bit more careful, right? So in this situation, if my dog can remain in the position, in the sit or stay, right, and then waited for me to have a chance to take a look whether do I have any neighbors in the lift, right? And then I allow my dog to get into the lift. And then it gets going, right? To the place of walk. I want the dog to wait for me to give him the green light to go for his pee space. You know, like for example, I will tell him that, okay, now he can go and pee, right? That is the time that he will goes off and he will get his a free range of maybe two to three minutes, right, where he will sniff all he wants, choose his spot, and then relieve himself, right? So these are all very good habits, right, we need to inculcate together in our dog in a daily basis. And this can be done if we allow a dog to choose, and because he knows that by choosing the right behavior, he is again rewarded heavily, right? So this is what we call, again, we come back to the reinforcement theory that we are in, right? A behavior that is motivated, a behavior that basically gets some fun, rewards, and some reaction, basically this is going to be repeated, the action will keep coming back. So if you want that behavior, keeps the reinforcement. So how about training? Right, in the times of training, we also want our dog to make the right decision. Like for me as a dog trainer, I can tell you, sometimes I will have be training both dogs, right, at the same time. So what I will usually do, I will have a crate, I will teach my dog, without closing the door, I will say that, okay, Millie, get into the crate, right, and Millie will go to the crate, and then I'll train Guinness. Right, after I train for a few minutes, like 1 or 2 minutes with some engagement game, then I will swap my dog. So the dog understand that if he's to wait at the crate, you know, he will be given his time, right? And that will be something that he likes, right? So what happens if he doesn't choose to stay in the crate, right? Then he will be will be reprimanded, right? In the sense that I will then bring him in to the crate and I will lock out the dog, right? And that's to show the dog that if he doesn't make the right decision, then I will be there, you know, to so-called help to restrain you, right? And if you choose it correctly, right, you get the freedom to, you know, to rest in your crate without much disturbance, you know. And if you are good, you may get to come out and play with the owner, you know, in the earlier time, you know, where you are unexpected, where you have fun. So this is where it comes into training, right? And the other one that is, I think, rather critical would be, for example, you know, we are people who like guests, right? So we have relative, nephew, nieces that comes to our house, and we need to train our dog, right? And to teach the dog to understand what is the right behavior to choose, you know, when my guest is pressing the doorbell. You know, so the decision of getting into a rest place, right, where he can put his a position where he can rest, and then he can then get into the position and wait for you to allow the guest to come in and have a coffee, and then he will be heavily rewarded. And then what's up, right? What's the other things that he's going to enjoy? You know, you're going to release him, and then he gets to meet his guest, right? And that will be the ultimate reinforcement that I believe our dogs will all want, right? So this is what we will be driving at when we're talking about when do we tell our dogs to make decision. So after discussing for a while what is training a puppy, making decision, now it's time for us to look at, you know, how do we get it done, right? We're telling you, we have been in the last segment, we have been saying, when are you teaching your dog to make decision, right? And like what I mentioned, during feeding, daily walks and things like that, right? So, but we are going to look at what technique are we employing, right? So that our dog gets to understand by making a good decision, what is he going to get it, right? So we our training concept, especially for us at Pups Dog Training, we are using reward-based technique. So reward-based technique is it's not just about food. It's about getting the behavior done, what is being asked of you, you know, and then you will be rewarded, right? So the training system that we are embarking on is like ABC, right? They are just in the same in the basic order, ABC, right? A is basically the antecedent. In short, we say it as us, right? So B is the behavior from the dog, which is the behavior that offers by the dog, and then C becomes the consequences, right? So maybe I can put it this way, right? So if I ask the dog for a seat, for example, right? If the dogs give me a seat by replying a behavior for the actual seat, right? So when A is equals to B, the consequence is positive. So when it's positive, what do? I mark and click, or CT, right? Click and trade, right? So depending on how you literally using it, right? So for us, in Pups, we don't really use CT because some of us are not using clicker. For myself, I'm also not using clicker. I'm using my Berber as a marker. That's why you can hear me saying MT, right? So again, let's go back to the training system, right? If I ask for a down, right? So A and CT learn as a cue, I ask the dog to perform a down, and the behavior comes out to be a wrong down, right? Something that is not the right B. And then what happens? The C becomes negative, right? So in negative, what it means, removal of food is punishment. So basically, I will tell the dog by telling him what we call a non-reward marker by saying that, that's a wrong behavior. This is to feedback to the dog so the dog understand that he has done something wrong. And the result is you have missed this opportunity to get the reward from the owner. So in training, it really looks into a few things, right? We want you to basically look at the cue that's being given, offer their behavior so that you get a reward marker, right? For example, like an MT or a CT to tell you that you did the right job, and then that's where you get your reward, right? Or alternatively, right, we want you to understand that if you a cue is being presented and we wanted you to do a behavior and you does not do it, is equals to it's a NRM, right? It becomes a non-reward marker and you will end up with a punishment, right? So removal of food becomes punishment. We do not physically punish the dog, right? But I'm quite sure that by removing the food, once the dog feels that there is a refusal, right? It becomes negative, right? The dog perceives it as something not pleasant. So that is already a punishment, right? So to me, that indicates a punishment concept, right? So, we are not using the physical sense. So we basically, as a reward trainer, we worked around the four quadrant. If you are familiar with, we are working with the positive reinforcement, positive punishment, negative reinforcement, negative punishment. So we are working around the four quadrant, right? So we don't ask you to work on a particular quadrant as much as you want, but we usually will utilize at some of them, right? So I myself also does not use the entire quadrant, right? So what do we mean by how do we employ the method for our dogs to understand how to make a right decision? So we use things like, you know, classical conditioning, right? Classical conditioning is something like a association, right? So if I tell my dog, for example, it called Dexter, and I respond, you know, and you say, give me a reward marker by saying, okay, good, and then you pay me with $10. But do you think that I'm going to turn the next time you call Dexter? Of course, right? Because my name's paid. So same as the dog, right? So when you do an association, we are telling the dog that the name is equal to something pleasant, right? So if I call your name, you respond. If I say Max and you respond, or I call you Mini, you respond, that is equals to a reward. So the dog associate the name with something pleasant. So that is what we call by classical conditioning, right? Then we goes into what we call operant conditioning. Now, operant conditioning basically is in operation, right? So what you want the dog to do to really understand is that if I ask for something, if you execute it, right? When you execute it, right, it is something that you got to remember that is a particular behavior that I'm asking for you so that you will be rewarded. A good example would be, for example, I use a sit cue, right? So I ask for a sit, the dog gave me the behavior of sit, and that operant, the operation of that action, putting the butt on the ground, that is the behavior I want, the operant conditioning behavior that match with the reward marker, and then you will hear a reward coming, you will hear the marker, and then the reward comes, right? So we are also doing operant conditioning in training, right? And of course, you know that we are based on reward base, right? So reward base, I just want to to explain to you what really reward base is about. Reward base is not pure, you know, what we call luring. It's about basically getting the dog to understand that a certain behavior, if it does it, you know, you will get a reward, right? So it's something that the dog needs to work for it, right? In our term, we call it no free lunches, right? So as we all learn in system, in life, nobody's going to give you a free lunch unless you are my friend, unless I'm your parents, you are my parents, you will feed me. And then other than that, right, who is going to give you a free lunch? Nobody is going to give you even a free ride, right? So in that sense, we all understand that reward base is a way to go. And I can tell you, frankly speaking, all reward-based dog are basically thinking dog, right? So what do you mean by thinking dog? Thinking dog are those dogs that keep thinking, right? What is the behavior? What is the last paid behavior that you are actually asking me to do? So in order for me to continue to enjoy that reward, I need to fall back to the same reaction. So if you are having a positive reinforced dog, you realize that your dog are so in love with exhibiting lots of behavior coming up for him. He will do again, all over again, the whole repertoire that you have teach him so that he can execute that repertoire, and hopefully one of it fits what you ask for, and then so that he can hear a reward marker, and then a treats will be given to the dog. Right, so this is what we want you to understand in terms of reward-based training. In order to be a good reward-based trainer, you need to teach yourself to have an eye for good. What I meant is like that, right? Because we are all brought up in the system in Singapore, right? To catch, always look out for error, right? When somebody does something wrong, you will be there, we'll say, ah, you're wrong. Or we take out the phone and then we video and then we WhatsApp. We put it on the social media, you know, to shame the person. So that is the very first thing we done. And we are all trained so well because we are brought up in a way where we know that we need to catch everybody when they are wrong. So by doing the right stuff, usually we doesn't even give to bother. A good example is that, my own father, right, I remember, you know, if I'm doing well, I will not have a pack on my back. You know, it's seldom I will get that, you know, because in Chinese, tradition, right, doing well is what is expected, you know, and if you are not doing well, it's something wrong, you know, as character, you know. But again, we must understand, right, if we doesn't train ourselves to have an eye for good, you know, how does your dog going to understand what is good is all about, right? So I give you an example, right? Instead, for example, right now I have a dog, you know, he's barking at someone at the door, you know, and he goes out, he goes to the door, he barks and he jumps and he do whatsoever, right? So this is decision. Again, it comes to today's topic is, back podcast is talking about making a decision, right? So the dog has made a decision, goes to the door, he barks, he jumps, you know, and I tell my guests, don't come in yet, right? Because that's not the right time. And what most owner will do, I bet most owner will do, you know, will be screaming at the dog and say, hey, shut up or something, right? Or, you know, or something that are more negative. You take a roll-up newspaper, you start chasing your dog and things like that. So these are all very negative, right? So what happened, right? Let's take a step back and understand things, right? What happened if your dog is right now barking, right? And the moment he sits down, right, because it barks for a while and there is no feeding or reinforcement, right? So the behavior gets weaker. And what he does, he performs a alternate behavior in the sense, right? He goes for a sit. And then then miraculously you're there to say, yes, good boy. And then he gets his cookie. I tell you, that will stick in his mind, right? Then he start thinking that, oh, why should I be so stupid, right? Wasting all my energy, jumping out and barking and screaming my heads off, you know, at the door, and yet I cannot get to meet the person behind the door. You know, if I choose to sit down, I get my reward, you know, and that will be an easier thing and a quicker thing to do, right? So after a few repetitions, your dog will understand that, making a good decision is something good, right? But what it means to you is that you need to spend that time to train your eye, you know, and catch the good stuff. For example, another good example is that when you're walking your dog, right? If your dog is walking beside you nicely, you know, I bet you say nothing. Right, for me, as a reinforcement trainer, I will always tell my dog, good boy, right? And then I continue to walk. If I have a cookie, I'll pay him because I want him to maintain walking nicely, not pulling me, not lunging at dogs, not, you know, forging ahead and things like that, right? And that will build the reinforcement. And my dog eventually will start walking closer and closer to me because that is what I want. And by doing the right decision, he always will so-called corner me or to force me to then say yes and I'll pay him, right? And so that he continue to maintain in the right zone, right? This is what I'm trying to talk about. So looking at the perspective, of having a good eye, I think is critical in puppy training, right? Let's learn not to be too quick to punish a dog. What you need to understand is that puppy being puppy, they are just puppy, right? And dogs is still a dog, right? You cannot humanize a dog. You cannot think that the dog thinks like you because dogs doesn't think like human, right? What they want is to get all the advantage that they can get out of the human, right? In terms of attention, love, food, you know, whatever he can get, right? He will get from you, right? As soon as he can find a way to get that. I give you a good example, right? If you have a kid, you realize that when you bring him to a toy shop, right? When you're at a toy shop, you know, the dog learns, the kids learns that every time, you know, if he refuses to leave the so-called the toy shop, he scream and he cry and he throw a ruckus And then you know what you do? We will buy the toy for him, right? And that is a very bad reinforcement that we are feeding the boy, because the boy will know that every time what I need is just to be tough enough, you know, to scream, to shout, you know, so that my owner has no choice, my mommy, my daddy, by the end of the day, have no choice to buy me that toy because I scream for it, right? So let's look at the other side of things that you do. A good example is that you bring the kid into the toy shop, and then he was searching for his toy, you know. And then, you know, the first time we bring him out and he doesn't make any sense, he doesn't make any noise, and he bring him for something like a ice cream, right? So there's a reward for him to say that if you leave the toy shop without throwing a ruckus, something that you want, you know, you still get what you want. Maybe it's not the toy, but something goodie, right? So it's ice cream that you're eating, right? Or the other hand, right? Imagine when you're there at the toy shop, right? The boy was not expecting anything, and then you buy for him something that he wants the previous time he visited the shop. I can tell you that sticks into the mind, right? I just want to explain to you because as a dog trainer, it's going to be very interesting, because I met up with my camp mate, which is a preschool teacher, right? And then, you know, we were during one of the ICT, the army training that we went through. We spent 3 days on the ship, you know, during our rest time, just talking about how reinforcement work for both kids and children, right? And if you look at all the concept behind the reinforcement, I can tell you we do the same thing, right? Just like the school teacher, we are doing the same thing. How we reward the kids, we are doing the same concept. How we reward the dog, and then it's something that I think it blows my mind, right? To see that, you know, reinforcement really is the way to get things done, right? So I just want you to learn that, so that you can acquire that skill, and then your dog will be much happier, right? So I'll leave this with you, right? Again, training a puppy is all about making choices, right? So you need to help your dog to make choice, right? Your dog will not know which choice is good sometime, right? If you leave it to him, for example, you leave it to him a food that's on the floor, you know, and the dog food that's holding on your hand, of course, it goes for the food on the floor, right? Because that is supposed to be tastier, right? But if you train your dog to choose the right behavior and gets fully reinforced for it, right? Then he next time see a food that drops on the floor, he's not going to go for it, right? He will wait for you to feed him something better, right? Over your bowl, right? So this is what I want to leave with you, right? So that's all for today, right? I hope you enjoy the show, and thank you.
Once again, you can find us at pups.com.sg, which is P-U-P-S. Pups has a trainer academy to nurture, train, educate, and motivate all trainers to better equip ourselves with skill, knowledge, experience, and to ensure continuous education to keep abreast with the field of dog training. Pups Dog Training, we provide Puppy 101, Pet Dog, and Dog Sport Training. And our flagship program, our Dog Obedience Life Skill Program, and also the Puppy Fundamentals Obedience Classes and Puppy Fundamental Agility Classes and Behavioral Consulting. Thanks again for listening to our podcast, and we hope you like it, and I'll see you again in our next podcast. Thanks. See you, yeah?